Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Service Without Excuses Tribute. I am here with a brand new episode of the Service Without Excuses podcast, and we're going to talk about something in particular called strategic partnerships and what exactly they are. I'm sorry I haven't had much time to come to you lately. We've been very, very busy between multiple businesses, just the time of the year. Usually we're not like crazy busy. Usually we're not running around like crazy, but right now it's been a little chaotic, so I apologize for the delay in getting some new episodes out to you, but I want to welcome you back to episode number 12 of the Service Without Excuses podcast. Strategic partnerships, aka joint ventures, what do they mean? What do they mean to you and your business? I'm just going to bring my little tablet over here so I can see the camera streaming on YouTube right now. We have our episode going on not just all the major platforms like Apple and Stitcher and Google Podcasts and things like that, but we also stream this on Google, so you can see this live in living color, as they say, right from my office, which is what I usually do and get a little bit of time to do it. Joint ventures and strategic partnerships. There is one particular weapon that I think a small service-based business has, and I say small because if you're under $5 million, you're small. I mean, you're big compared to mom and pops and small companies, but you are a sizable company when it comes to the growth and potential of your business. And what are the strongest things you can use outside marketing your services through traditional channels, through internet, through direct mail, through TV advertising, internet advertising, SEO, all the stuff we've talked about in other episodes? This one's completely different. I've touched on it just a little bit from time to time, just to really get into what it's all about. But I will tell you, it is probably the most powerful weapon you can have because it's the most longevity you can grow with your business and all the extra bells and whistles that you happen to have with the growth of your business. Joint ventures are like putting a block into your building. So if your building is made of blocks, you know, let's say brick for the simplest thing possible, just like you see in the very background where I do some of my recording of products that I put out, that area back there is where I do a lot of that, or I'm still in the process of getting everything together for that area. But that's where I'm going to eventually shoot a TV show portion of what I'm doing too as well. And back there you could see blocks, little red blocks and white areas. Well, depending on how that strategic partnership or joint venture is built up is depending on how many blocks they happen to be. So if it's a major partner, strategic partner, you know you're adding some serious blocks. The stronger the blocks that you build with your business and your partnerships with these people, the stronger your brick wall will be or your office will be. You're not going to get a solid brick wall unless you build that on strategic abilities of growing one piece to another piece to another piece and making sure that the mortar between it is built solid. So you are potentially, and you know, realistically, you are the mortar. The blocks are the people that are investing in you that have become strategic partnerships or joint ventures with you. They are the blocks themselves. You're the mortar that kind of glues everything together. So as you can see in the background, if you're watching this in the stream, you see all the white mortar in between it that's holding that, so those bricks together. And the key to that is that's you. And you're winding between each brick on each side, on each top, brick to brick, piece to piece. If you happen to have a strong strategic partnership, somebody that really can refer you a bunch of work, that really believes in you, that really has the ability, can be a really strong partner for your business, well, then they bring a bunch of blocks with them. And that's what builds your walls and builds your house and so forth and so on. And the more you build your house and you frame it, the more blocks that you build solidly and the mortar that you use to retain it, to retain these joint partnerships with people, the better off your building will be and your business will be. Strategic partnerships, aka joint ventures, how important are they in the long-term growth of your business? Building a rapport and a common goal jointly to help each other grow has been one of the most successful ways to build a true asset, keyword true asset, that in your business. Think about all the countries that work together as partners, allies, to achieve a common goal. We have it in our society. We have partners and strategic, I think they call them strategic partners in world affairs. You know, United States has partners in Europe and the UK and Israel and some other areas that they have as strategic partnerships. Well, it's no different in a business. The stronger your strategic partnership is, the more you can build your business. The mission that we're going to get into today is to establish the value of joint ventures and strategic partnerships between two businesses both finding common goals and common assets between each business that you can help grow. Purpose is to learn the most strategic ways to make the connections between the two companies and to understand, develop the ethical opportunities there between two companies, the similarities between both, the relationships between both companies. Short-term goal is to identify who the strategic partners are and can be the easiest, what they refer to in the business world as low-hanging fruit of the marketing world. Low-hanging fruit essentially is the easiest to grab. When you're going into a grove and you want to go apple picking with the family or fruit picking with the family, you're going to see that the fruit at the very bottom obviously is the easiest to get. Now, it might not be the best fruit. The fruit up higher and top might be the best fruit, but it's the easiest to get to, and that's the low-hanging fruit. That's what that means by that. Nothing more complex than that. The long-term results is to chart a system of how companies can work together on both their strengths that they each have. So in a service-based business, let's just choose mine. I'm in the carpet and tile cleaning business. We do some pressure washing, you know, mostly high-end work. We're doing homes that want a real complete service of having it pressure cleaned, detail cleaned, I should say, having it sanded with what's called polymeric sand into the joints to create joint stabilization. And then if they choose to put a sealer on, either we can put it on for them. If they choose a better sealer, if they want to go with their own home sealer or something at a big box store, that's their option. We don't put it on anymore, but people can do that. But we know that we have partners, particularly in this business. So let's stick to that, to the paver work where we're going to clean it, detail clean the paver work. I don't do houses. So they do houses and they do pavers, I'm sure. Almost everybody does. They want to do that. But a lot of them only want to clean it. They don't want to sand it. They certainly don't want to seal it. They don't have to come back for different days because the easiest, the low-hanging fruit is to do the cleaning. But people ask us on a regular basis because we do cleaning of this and we clean homes and we clean pavers and concrete, do you do power washing on the homes? And we do not. So great strategic partner for our business, phenomenal strategic partner for our business would be a pressure washing or power washing company or what's referred to as a soft washing company. And that company goes in and does a very thorough, detailed, and professional job at cleaning the structure, whether it's in a commercial building or it's in a residential house. They have the techniques to do that. We're too busy with the things that we do best in order to get attached to that personally. We want to stick to what we do very, very well. So we know in our business, in New Jersey's best services, New Jersey's best carpet and tile cleaning, it comprises of carpet, wall-to-wall carpet cleaning, area rug cleaning. It comprises of tile and grout cleaning, which is our fastest growing segment. It comprises of commercial, both steam cleaning and low moisture process cleaning, maintenance cleaning. It also comprises of upholstery cleaning, fine fabric cleaning, and, of course, then pavers and some other things. We do epoxy cleanings of concrete floors and things like that. That's kind of all part of the paver cleaning process itself, although we can do it with multiple systems. Pavers are done with more high pressure, where your epoxy cleaning probably will be done with a much lower pressure, 500, 600 PSI tops, because we don't want to peel any loose epoxy that was never applied right off it. But we want to make sure it's detailed, cleaned, and sanitized correctly to be clean, to be odor-free, and to be, you know, for the most part, the best we can, somewhat sanitary or disinfected from that standpoint. So strategic partnerships can be cleaning. Another strategic partnership for a business like ours is a residential and commercial cleaning company. Huge. We have partners on both sides of these. We have people that partner with us that do both of these things. One that's a power washing company that gets very, very busy in the spring, and we hear a lot of referrals from them that at that point in time. Also from a disaster restoration company that we work with that calls and says, I have customers that need this done. It could be from a fire. It could be from just whatever it was, but they need it done. And we get those calls a lot in the springtime. That's usually when that starts to grow. Cleaning companies, house cleaning companies could be tremendously profitable. House cleaning companies go into homes every single day, and usually they're on a week or biweekly or sometimes monthly rotation in the same house. So they've built up a rapport with these customers. They know who they are. They know to trust them. They're doing the work over and over themselves, and they've got it down to a science. So they are tremendous referral sources for a company like us, because people have to have their carpets cleaned, you know, once a year in the real high traffic areas, maybe twice a year, but usually once a year, sometimes a little bit longer if it's a part-time home. But they can refer a lot of work our way. In the commercial segment, we do commercial carpet cleaning, so they can refer us commercial. They're doing the cleaning of the building itself and the structure and doing the dusting and the vacuuming and the wiping down to make sure everything is clean and sanitary in the bathrooms, same thing. But they can refer to both commercial carpet cleaning with both steam cleaning and encapsulation or low moisture, as well as tile and grout cleaning. Professional, not maintenance purposes. They're going to go in there, are going to do a quick steam of it, and they're going to use no-touch cleaning systems typically in commercial buildings. But they can refer us to detail work. When it gets so built up and so impacted, both in the tile and grout and in the carpets, that's a great time to give a company like ours a call. So that's some small examples of what we have. Interior designers, I could keep going on and on. There's so many people. Realtors, huge amount of referral we work get from realtors over the period of a year. In fact, there are a tremendous marketing segment that we have for New Jersey's Best is different realtors of different organizations. And the number one reason for that is they're putting a home typically on the market. They could have a buyer, but they're usually selling a property. The people that buy the property may keep the floors, may keep the tile and grout. They usually do. They may keep the carpets. They may keep, you know, the wall-to-wall stuff that's there, but they may not. And more often than not, they have a picture in their mind of what they want or what they think is best for them. So they're not going to do it. So if a person selling a property decides, hey, I'm going to put brand new rugs in, brand new floors in, what the hell, give it to them. It'll make the house sell faster. You're foolish. It's nothing personal. That's a common sense way to think about it, but you would be foolish. So without a doubt, at that point in time, you just basically come in and have all of the cleaning done, and you want to have the house clean, both commercially and residentially, first and foremost in the first place, and you want to have that done thoroughly. You want to have that done right. That's kind of key. But afterwards, they want to change things out. God love them. Go ahead. Let them do it. But at least get the carpets cleaned so it looks presentable, it looks better, like you've done something. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, it's going to look better to sell. It's going to look better to have things done correctly. What it's also going to do is give them the sense of you tried to get the house in order and cleaned the best you can. And it keeps them from looking at secondary issues, things that you don't see, things that are just kind of set in the background that you may not want to bring to attention or you're not even aware are an issue or potential issue. When it comes to that, make sure that that stuff is taken care of. So getting the rugs cleaned is a fraction of the price of usually changing one room of carpet. Okay, it's a fraction of it. It may be 50 cents on the dollar of just one room versus cleaning the entire house. So you're better off with that. You're making the impression that gives them the impression that you've done everything to get the house ready for sale. And it looks cosmetically better. Whether they change out the flooring at all, they may want logs in their floors. It doesn't matter. You want the appearance of having that done. So there's a lot of beneficial reasons to have strategic partnerships. Again, I'm just going into some of the analogies of what we do. Obviously, we have customers that are in the plumbing realm. We have customers in all different service businesses, from realty, from restoration services, that work with us in our consulting basis. They actually, you know, we have them as a cross pair, but everybody here has a joint partnership. For example, for me, I have a couple of disaster restoration companies I work with here. I have some that, one in particular, that's a little bit more involved, is more in the environmental side. So they might be involved in more asbestos, but they do water and fire damage and mold cleanup just like the other company does. One company is down here on the Jersey Shore area, much closer. The other one is up north towards central New Jersey. They don't like to go outside of an area they're at because of the response time. They know they can't meet the client's demands. So it works out really good because they are typically my first call to the company to call because I have a long-term standing relationship. Again, multiple blocks built up in my portfolio back there. But the other company does a great job, and they do things the other company does not. So I have a tendency to be able to refer them consistently, especially this time of the year. People call us as carpet cleaners and say, I got water on my carpet and I don't touch it. It's not that I can't. I spent 25 years in the disaster restoration industry. I certainly know how to do it. It's changed now more than ever. I have, again, my friend that keeps me up on things, but it's changed more toward the substantial technical side. It's not what I want to do. It's not what I do. Our business right now is really geared towards certain things. And I said I wanted a lifestyle-driven business when I left the 24/7 chaotic nature of that type of business. It was a very profitable business. It was a very good business. There's a lot of consistent work there to do, but it wasn't for us. And we wanted to be good at certain things in a market where we knew we could grow. And it's proved to be that way. And we're very blessed and lucky to do it every day. However, we stuck to what we're doing. So we are able to get those strategic partnerships. We're not a carpet cleaner that happens to do water restoration work, because if we did, we would alienate some of those people. We're not a carpet cleaner that happens to do residential cleaning, commercial cleaning. Why? Because we'd alienate those folks, and I don't want to alienate them. I want them as a partner. I want them as a strategic partnership with us. I want them to be able to grow with us. I want to be part of that. We have companies that are in pest control. We have real estate people, you know, but we have a list over here. I can't really show it to you. There's no way to see it, but it's a board, and it's got a bunch of cards and notes and all kinds of crazy stuff. But I also have it on databases in the computer and on my laptop that are people that I can get immediately, on top of which on the phone. You know, I can go to the phone and I can get a strategic partner pretty quickly on this. I have them all listed. When somebody calls me for new flooring, I have Ryan at Excellence Floor Covering here that actually is a great guy. He's actually a member of the group. He does excellent work. He's very narrowed to what he does. He's more into the hard surfaces, more than wall-to-wall carpet. He will often tell a customer to go to a big box chain when their budget is very, very lean when it comes to carpet. But, you know, he's honest, and that's the key reason I want. I want to have a strategic partner that's going to be honest with folks. And how he got them was I had a customer that, and this is how the joint venture process works, called us up and said somebody had sprayed, of all things, Tide detergent on the floor to clean the carpet. 30 years of this, never seen anything like this. This was insane. So they took the Tide and the bottle, and they swayed it around the room like in circles. For what reason, I'm not quite sure. And they went out and rented a machine. And, of course, by that point in time, that much of that straight, which it's a concentrate now. Again, the Tide is a straight concentrate. When you're putting it into a dishwasher, into a washing machine, it dilutes itself. So it has a small ratio compared to the big amount of water of cubic, you know, the large amount of moisture and water that's being added to it. So it dilutes it. But when you spray it right on the floor, it's straight. And it has things on it like optical brighteners. Long story short, it just dyed this carpet a big circle. So I went out to look at the house, and she was moving into the property, and they were on a tight budget. They'd spent a lot of money on this home. This is a very expensive home. And I walked in, and I said, unfortunately, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I really do. We never like to give somebody bad news, but we're honest. We're upfront. We meet customers' expectations. We guarantee it in our service. We guarantee it money back. That's something we do, and everybody should do, in my opinion. Back up your workmanship. I can't do anything for you. What do you mean? Customer asks. You can't do anything for me? I just, there's brand new, they're rugs. I'm just moving in. I'm on a tight budget. What do you suggest? And I says, ma'am, I would just be taking your money and flushing it down the toilet if I took one penny of any of your money. I can't fix this. On top of which, the parts I can fix are not worth fixing. So that was the next question. Why? Because the carpet's a contractor grade. It's been put in probably when the home was built, maybe 10 years ago. So the carpet's 10 years old. Any carpet 10 year old is older carpet. I don't care if it's the most expensive rug in the world. It's not new rug. When somebody says my rug's 10 years old, it's like new. The two shouldn't be in the same sentence. It's not. Nothing 10 years old is new. But unless they just don't walk on it, then it possibly is new. But that's rare. So I couldn't do anything for her. But I says, listen, I will recommend somebody to you that I trust and I work with as a strategic partnership, as a referral partner, and a joint venture partner, as we talk about. And they will give you their evaluation, but I can't help you. I'm sorry. I will gladly help you any way I can. I will get this person on the phone the best I can right here, which I wasn't able to do immediately, but they got right back to them. They were in the middle of a job site themselves. And they were able to come out that day, take a look at it, and make recommendations. And she said it. You know, here is the call, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever it happens to be. I think Home Depot is who he recommended, just the box chain. Again, this is an installer. He makes money from flooring, but that he's an installer first and foremost. That's where he makes his money, not buying the rugs from somebody. He's not a big company. So he said, go get a price at Home Depot. Let your bedrooms, if you want to keep your costs down, do your bedrooms in the carpet and do all your high traffic areas, your steps, your hallways, your other rooms in, you know, a laminate flooring or some type of a water-resistant flooring. That's solid. It's going to last. You have dogs in the house. They're going to do some damage. This is going to be the best thing to do. Plus, they're planks, and you can change it out. long story short, she just sent me the pictures and the thank you note with thank you for referring this person. Ryan was awesome. Here's the work he did. He ended up doing everything. He ended up doing all the floors. I thought he just did some traffic areas for in one room downstairs. He ended up doing all of it in that water-resistant laminate, long-term, heavy-duty flooring. She's going to be way better off, and it's probably more than she planned to spend by far, but she's getting a better result. So she thanked me for being honest with her and recommending Ryan to her. Now, of course, I went out there on my time, drove there to do the job, to look at the job, and didn't make any money. And she offered to pay me a fee to come out and take a look at it. Don't ever take the fee, guys. Don't take the fee. Unless the fee is generated because you know a person's a price shopper, they're going to do it. This person wanted to hire us. I couldn't perform the services she was expecting. Therefore, I am not the person that could take on the work for her. So I don't charge a fee if I haven't actually done anything. She didn't call me for an assessment on the rugs where I said, hey, pass or fail, it's this. I wouldn't take her money to save my life, to save my mother's life, to save anybody's life, because I wasn't able to perform the job that she hired me to do. That's our reputation. That's what Service Without Excuses in our business and the reason for this podcast exists is the genuine belief that we are going to do right by our customers and clients every single time without excuses. Again, I'd be giving her excuse. So I'm able to get this joint venture partner that has the ability to go into a house and do the job right based on my recommendations. Vice versa, now Ryan is talking to contractors. Now, contractors usually build homes. That's the first thing you think of. They're brand new home contractors. They are, but they're primarily remodel contractor, which can be tremendously good for us because what happens when they remodel? I don't care if they take every precaution in the world. If they put plastic on the floors, if they put, you know, mats in the front, they cover the furniture, dust will get somewhere. It's just no matter what you do, unless that thing is totally airtight in a negative air environment, which is almost unrealistic under construction basis, something's going to get somewhere. So they're going to cross rugs. Area rugs are going to be affected. Furniture is going to get affected. Tile and grout, believe it or not, can get very affected to it. Even the wood floors sometimes need to be cleaned in the property afterwards. And we can do that too as well. We can clean them. We don't refinish them. But they can be tremendous sources of income for us because they're in a house remodeling every day. At the end of the job, drop our card. Just say, hey, you know, call Rob at New Jersey's Best. Here it is. And give him a call. We work with him. He's a partner. He's not us, but he's an independent person, but I trust him. I refer him and his company all the time. That's all we can ask. We take it from there. We take the ball. We roll the ball from there and try and do it. So I talked about reputation in the past and how important is reputation, and I've expressed this over and over again of how important, no matter what, your reputation is everything. And anything aside from that is non-existent. It's not even negotiable. Your reputation is everything today because it's going to come back to bite you. You see it every day on the news. If you're not doing it right in the first place, you know, you're going to get bit. There's no question. So they have to have the ability to know that when you're referring them and I'm referring them, that they're going to come in the house, they're going to look professional. You know, they don't have to have name tags with ID badges and stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's nice that they have a marked shirt. I actually won't refer anybody personally without some of a uniform and stuff on the truck. I can't do it. But I got to know that the person, that even with that being said, that they're going in, that they're managing the job, that even though I might have a relationship, with any employee there, I have a relationship with the management, the ownership usually, that I know it can get taken care of. If there's a problem, I can get that person on the phone and say, hey, I referred you to Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith said you guys are great, but they left the door open and a raccoon got in the house and it's a problem. And then now it's their responsibility to take care of that because I will not hear back from Mrs. Smith. If I hear back from Mrs. Smith, it now becomes my problem. And I have a very zero tolerance policy for that, with exception. I mean, there are some people that you cannot, no matter what, but if you let a raccoon in the house because you left the door wide open and it's a problem, you know, you got to take care of it one way or the other. So, because that's my reputation now at that point. You know, I wouldn't want them to jeopardize their reputation by a job that I didn't do correctly, and vice versa. I would expect if I refer them, they're going to do the job correctly. So make sure you align yourself with strategic partnerships and strategic people that can get you to that level. Make sure the people you align yourself with will do the job ethically and honestly correct. So if you're going to refer a pest cleaning company, make sure they're reciprocal, obviously. You know, that's important because they got to believe in your services too. You can't just refer them one way and then vice versa they come back to you and they don't bother using them. You know, they don't refer you to their customers and clients. It's a one-way street, and I don't really do that unless I just have no need for it. I just believe that's it. With rare exception, there's so many people that do different businesses. I need to know it's reciprocal at this point. I want partners. I want joint venture partners. I want strategic partnerships with people. I don't want one-way streets, and you shouldn't want them either. So find people that are like-minded like you, that do the job right, that take care of things, that are honest and upfront with the customers, and find them as strategic partners for your business. Find out where their relationship is. I have a friend, and he's also a client, that's an attorney, and he's a real estate attorney. And he may even be on the group. I'm not sure if Pete is or not, but Pete's a wonderful guy. And Pete's entire business is driven from the real estate industry because, of course, he can practice law and different things and probably civil and criminal issues if he wanted to, but that's not his niche. His niche is real estate and a certain niche within that real estate. So his niche, his marketing, his joint venture partners are realtors, brokers, loan officers, title companies, all those things are part of his joint venture team. He doesn't have to necessarily go outside of that, but his entire business is built on those relationships with those different people that know that if you call Peter, it's getting done. Pete's a no-nonsense kind of person. He's a wonderful human being, wonderful guy, great lawyer. I would use him in a second. You know that you are getting the best person for that job because that's all he does, and he's honest and upfront and does the job right. So make sure you align yourself with people that do that type of work. Make sure you align yourself with people that can produce those kind of results for your customers, that if you refer them, there's not going to be a bunch of excuses why they couldn't. If there's an excuse afterwards, they need to make it right, or they need to walk away and say, I'm sorry, Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Jones, I couldn't fix it. I can't get the raccoon out of your house. I couldn't do whatever I got to do to make you happy. And they should not be, in my opinion, charging for a service if you're not able to meet the client's demands. It's your job to go in and understand the person that you're dealing with. Sure, things can happen and things can go south, but if you take a client on, you got to fix it. I mean, that's just it. You made the decision to do it. You chose to take them on as a client or customer. You got to make it right. And if you don't, you know, just own up and walk away and say, listen, I'm sorry I wasn't able to make you happy and move on. It's happened to all of us. There's nothing right or wrong about it. We've all had jobs where we cannot make that person happy no matter what you do. And with that situation, just move on. Simple as that. So align yourself with those people that are strategic partnerships. Take and write down people that are related to your industry. So if you're a carpet cleaner, think about real estate, think about commercial cleaners, residential cleaners, think about remodeling contractors. You can think about a bunch of different people that can refer work to you. If you're a restoration company, you have companies like us that can refer work to that have no interest in doing disaster restoration. Even though we're more than capable of doing it, we don't do it, and we don't want to do it. We want to give the work to you. Vice versa, we want you to refer the work back to us at the same time. So think about that. Write down people that are in related industries to you. If you're not sure about it, feel free to post or ask a question here. It's obviously going to be streaming in the group on the Service Without Excuses Mastermind group. So if you have a question, you're not quite sure who that person is, you know, reach out and I probably can lead you to a good strategic partner for you, even one in your particular area. I'm sure you already know who they are that you can get work from. Just think about who they are and their reputation and if they're going to be a good fit for you. And just do it. Simple as that. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the brand new episode of Service Without Excuses podcast, episode number 12, where we talk about strategic partnerships and joint ventures. Have a great day.